Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And welcome to the start of a new series of programmes entitled Brief Encounters. Our lives are packed full of people that we meet briefly and maybe for only one occasion, but the meeting changes our life. I'll give you just one example of this from my own life. One day, I saw somebody famous walking towards the door of a building. In a flash, I thought to myself, I've got to meet them, and I must ask them something. But what? Anyway, start walking, and as you walk, you can think of what to ask them when you meet them. The somebody in this case was the Reverend Professor Dr. Tom Torrance, the famous professor, minister, author, and speaker. He was here in Princeton as the guest lecturer. His brother James was my professor back home in Aberdeen. This was Tom, the more famous of the two professors. Tom had about 8 honorary doctorates. I'd read some of his books. Now it was time to meet the author. I knew I was butting in, but it would only be very briefly, and the opportunity was just too good to miss. But what to say? I could see that my only window of opportunity was to catch him between the outer and inner doors of the building, which I managed. I explained I was a Scottish student studying here for a year and intending to become a minister in the Church of Scotland, and asked him a very open question. Is there anything you would advise me to do? Right away, he said, read Kittel's New Testament commentaries and Karl Barth's Church Dogmatics. I thanked him, and he carried on. It was over in 1 minute. However, I took his advice. I started reading Karl Barth's Church Dogmatics. It's not just one book, it's actually 14 volumes. I started reading one page per day. But faithfully, my one page a day, starting in 1993 and finishing in 2010, that's 17 years later, and then I immediately went back to the beginning and started again, by the way. Well, at the moment, I'm nearly finished the second read-through. Tom Torrance is the man who translated the 14 volumes from the original German into English. It's hard enough me reading it, he wrote it. So my brief encounter of 1 minute, many years ago, has affected my daily life up till now, and probably for the rest of my life. That's just one example of a brief encounter which had life-changing consequences for me. You will have your own examples, I'm sure. So I thought you might enjoy a series of life-changing brief encounters between Jesus and various individuals. The individuals got radically changed, but so too have millions of people who have read about their brief encounters with Jesus. And my hope is that your life might be greatly enriched by hearing about these brief encounters. Just before we get started on the brief encounter, which is the focus of this programme, let's pause for some music. This too is about a life-changing encounter.
Come bring me your softness. Comfort me through all this madness. Woman, don't you know with you I'm born again.
Give me your sweetness. Now there's you, there is no weakness. Lying safe with
was half, not whole. Instead, with none.
Reaching through this world in need of one.
Come show me your kindness. In your arms I know I'll find this. Woman, don't you know with you I'm born again.
Lying safe with you I'm born again.
Comfort me through all this madness. Woman, don't you know with you I'm born again.
You are listening to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, and we're listening in on a private conversation, part of a brief encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus, that is Nicodemus, not Nicodemus, the first Irishman mentioned in the Bible. No, just kidding. The account of the brief encounter is recorded in the Bible at John chapter 3, verses 1 following. Let me read it to you. There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus, who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night he went to Jesus and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him." And Jesus answered, "I'm telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a grown man be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time." "I'm telling you the truth," replied Jesus. "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but he's born spiritually of the Spirit. So you must be born again." Nicodemus was an aristocrat. He was rich and powerful. He was a Jewish ruler, one of the highest Hedians, one of the 70 members of the Sanhedrin. That's the Jewish Parliament come Supreme Court. And it applied to all Jews, not just the Jews in Israel, but all Jews all over the world. He was a member of the 6,000 Pharisees in Israel at the time of Jesus. They were known as the separated ones because they liked to keep themselves aloof from the ordinary punters. They sought to keep themselves pure for God and the keeping of his law, untainted by the unwashed masses in the marketplace. They were known as the Brotherhood. Yes, they were all men. They were very sincere and strict with themselves and totally dedicated. They were fanatically good, goody-good, do-gooders, the kind of holy folk that come across as holier-than-thou and get up your nose. But there was no taking away from their goodness. Jesus had many run-ins with them, But he did remind his disciples that for all their faults, they were good living, and any disciple of his would need to match their goodness. Just don't be so self-righteous about it, folks, he said. The Pharisees pledged before three witnesses to spend the rest of their life observing every minutiae of God's law. For example, God's law, or Torah, in the form of the Ten Commandments, says that we should keep the Sabbath as a holy day. Pharisees agonized over how to keep it holy, and they came up with many rules and regulations codified in their Mishnah, 24 chapters to be precise, just on Sabbath observance. Not content with that, they then published the Talmud to explain the Mishnah, and the Talmud has 64 columns about the Sabbath. Pharisees were very legalistic, nitpicky about tiny rules and regulations. Jesus and everybody had to admire their sincerity, their self-discipline and sheer goodness, but Jesus and everybody soon got scunnered with their legalism and judgmentalism of others. They always left you feeling very small, and they always made faith a burdensome duty weighing you down rather than wings to help you fly. So it's very surprising to hear that Nicodemus approached Jesus. Pharisees hated Jesus. They thought he was a false Messiah. They saw Jesus break the Sabbath, mix with sinners, sit light to the rules, and laugh and joke too much. I'm reminded of an incident in my own life which beautifully illustrates the friction between Jesus and the Pharisees. As a wee boy, I remember sitting in the front seat of our car as the family drove to church. In the back seat was Mary, an elderly neighbour who was a lovely lady, but ever so serious. Her lips had not cracked into a smile since before the war. Suddenly we saw Davy, the town drunk, thumbing a lift on his way to the local pub. We stopped to pick him up, and I could see in the mirror Mary and Davy sitting squashed together. Mary thought she would do a bit of Christian evangelism and recruit Davy to the church. "Davy, would you not like to come with us to the church this morning?" "Why should I, Mary?" "You'll be full of the joy of the Lord, Davy." "Are you full of the joy of the Lord, Mary?" "Oh, yes, Davy." "Well, why don't you show it sometimes?" "Mary, why don't you come with me to the pub? You'll get plenty of joy there." I and my family were meanwhile struggling to keep a straight face. Anyway, back to Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night. No wonder he was cautious. His colleagues would shoot him if they found out. Jesus was enemy number one at the time. But Nicodemus wanted some peace and joy in his unhappy life.
Tell me, where do I go?
He came at night, not just for the cover of darkness, but also to get more uninterrupted time with Jesus. Night was always the best time to consult rabbis without interruptions. He came to the light of the world for him to shed light on his personal problems. But Jesus often surprised people by his replies. So Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you will have to be born again." Nicodemus takes him literally. "How can a grown man be born again? He cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time." Jesus was meaning that he would need such a radical overhaul, such a turnaround, such a change, such a new beginning in his life, that he would be a new man altogether. It would be as if he was born again and become a new person, starting life all over again. There was a famous town drunk in Airdrie who suddenly became a Christian. He stopped drinking and he completely changed in every way. He got a thick knitted woolen jumper with three words knitted across his chest, "Under new management," meaning that now his life was under Jesus' control. Everybody in Airdrie could testify to the radical transformation in his life. They said that it was like he was born again, a new creature. Another convert to Christianity explained it by saying, "I don't know how Jesus changed water into wine. All I know is, in my own life, he turned beer into furniture."
Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Calmed the sea.
Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Every time I look into the holy book, I wanna tremble when I read about the part where a carpenter cleared the temple. For the buyers and the sellers were no different fellows than what I profess to be. And it causes me pain to know I'm not the guy that I should be. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Calmed the sea.
Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Mama taught me how to pray before I reached the age of 7. And when I'm down on my knees, that's when I'm close to heaven. Daddy lived his life with 2 kids and a wife. You do what you must do. But he showed me enough of what it takes to get you through. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
Hand in the hand of the man from.
Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
The bad news is that we need to be born again. The good news is that we can be born again, not by our own efforts, but by Jesus' help. St. Paul, who was encountered by Jesus himself on the road to Damascus, put it like this: the old self must die so that the new self can emerge. Everybody uses their own vocabulary, but we all know what is meant. We all need to be born many times in the course of our lifetimes, to die to the old ways and be born to the new ways. To turn our backs on previous practices and start to live in a better way. To give up addictions to destructive things and commit our lives to positive, constructive things. To die to money and material things and be born to more spiritual values. Basically, to die to self and be born to a new life, living for God and for other people. Here's St. Mary's Saltcoats Guitar Group.
Change my heart, O God. May I be
Holy Half Hour is nearly up, so have a lovely birthday. That's today and every day. In the end, Nicodemus became a disciple of Jesus. He was there at the cross when many other disciples were not, and he was there taking down Jesus' dead body and helping Joseph of Arimathea to bury him in Joseph's own tomb. So ironically, by Jesus' own life, death and resurrection, he brought Nicodemus to life. So bye for now, and I leave you with a medley of songs which Nicodemus could sing from the heart and which hopefully you personally can too. Starting with a song written by a scurrilous slave trading sea captain who met Jesus and became a hymn writing minister.
Filled my life until I overflow. All I have is yours to use. Any way you choose, you are Lord of all, so how can I say no? I'll say yes,
Lord, yes, to your will and to your way.
I'll say yes,
Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey.
When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree,
and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
If I never knew the fullness of living in your will, I would never know how rich my life could be. Lord, my willingness to serve